This scripture is from Philippians 3, 12 to 14. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me, heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. Good morning. So when I saw Abel playing, it reminded me of some street performers that I've seen before, that they're playing drums, keyboard, harmonica, and everything else. So I hope that's not what's coming. because I hope that we will soon be reopened, that everybody will come back. So we are a little bit restricted. So otherwise, we're going to fill this stage with musicians, guitarists. And so I think that is coming very soon, most likely next month. But I've been saying that many times, so people don't trust me anymore. But I believe we are coming to the end of the tunnel, and we will soon be reopened. We're aiming at next month, February the 16th, when the government will make new announcement again. So this morning, we're going to share this passage, partly because it's January, and we want to move forward, we want to look ahead. So when I read this passage, we're already familiar with this passage. I'm sure you have read this before and heard people, pastors, preach this before. So when I read this again, it reminds me of an athlete. Olympic is coming soon, in a few weeks' time. So when I read this, it just reminds me of somebody's training, especially running in track and field, an athlete, a runner. When I was young, and I like to run the short distance. So I still remember all the training. You may think that running 100 meters is only 15 seconds for most of us. How hard could it be? How hard could it be to just run in a straight line for most of us it's 15 seconds. Some people maybe it's 11 seconds. Or 20 seconds. How hard can it be? But I remember when I read this passage, and I remember all this training time. So what we do is when we go down to the field and the track, so the first thing we do is we run around the track four times. That's called a warm up. So most people, by the time you run four times, you're exhausted, you're tired, it's time to go home. So that's not the start thing of the training yet. Then you run 100 meter from one end to the other at 60% of your speed, right, so that you warm up your body. Okay, time to go home. Not yet. Then you run the 70 meter from one end to the end at 75% of your speed. Okay, so we're all tired by the time. No, okay, let's run 50 meter at 80% of the speed. Okay, now we're going to, I missed the part. Then you have to do all this stretching, exercising, lift your legs and for 20 minutes. Okay, then we're ready to start training, practicing for the real race. So it's a lot of training. And I still remember the coach told us, when you run, especially in sprinting, though, every part of your body has to be going forward. Right? You don't run sideways, right? Your hand, your elbow, your knees, your leg, your stride, everything has to be in one direction, moving forward. Even your eyes, you know, you don't look, don't see who's behind you, right? Look around, okay? Up and down. Even your eye, look forward. Everything, your whole body, even your mind is going forward. So your whole body is going forward. So when I read Paul's passage here, it just reminds me of running. That you run forward. But this is not going forward. I always seem to have a problem with this. Okay, this will go forward. Okay, can someone make this go forward for me? So Paul here said, in order for you to go forward, you have to forget the past. I'm sure this is on. Okay, let's check this. No. Oh, okay. So I have to look backward. That's not a good illustration this morning. Okay. So I have to look backward. So I have to look backward for the, okay. So I keep looking at the screen there. So Paul, well, the first thing Paul here remind us is to say that, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Just like running, you have to, don't look back. I guess I have to look back now this morning. Don't look back, forgetting what lies behind. So the very first thing Paul here reminded all of us, I'm sure when Paul shared this, oh, thank you, Daniel. When he say forgetting what lies behind, he's probably thinking about how he persecuted the church before he was converted. But we're not sure, but theologians are not sure. He's looking, not looking behind what you have done wrong. Very often, our failure holding us back. Our sin chain us to the past. Are we sometimes living in the past? Something we did wrong been holding us to start new. Hebrews 12:1. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles so that we can run forward. All of us failed in some way. Anyone here can say that I have never failed before? You must be lying. We all fail. We fail in a relationship. We hurt somebody. And that just hangs over us day and night, isn't it? Maybe we made wrong decisions. And our life was screwed up for a little while. Painful memories. So all this may not be recorded, you know, in our memory, but it's in our mind. God has forgiven us, but we did not. We could not. We have failed ourselves in many ways. We have failed God. Have you? Have you failed God before? I'm sure you have. But God has forgiven you, but you did not forgive yourself. You fail in study and just, you can't get over it. How could I fail? You fail a subject. You feel so embarrassed. You know, that's maybe one of your better subjects. Failure makes us lose our confidence. We cannot charge forward. It's hanging over you like a dark cloud. He is a man who failed many times. At age 22, he failed in the business. Well, most of us at age 22 haven't started a business yet. We're still living at home. He ran for the state legislature. This is a U.S. citizen, of course, right? He ran for the state legislature, lost at 23. At 23, he also lost his job. At 23, he wanted to go to law school, but could not get in. He started a business, and by the end of that year, he went bankrupt. At age 26, he was engaged to get married, but the sweetheart died. At age 26, he has a nervous breakdown and has to be at home in hospital to rest for 6 months. He sought to be a speaker of the House, the state legislature, and was defeated. At age 31, he sought to become elector, was defeated. Age 34, run for the Congress, lost. At age 39, lost the election to the Congress. At age 40, he was rejected the job of land officer in his home state. At age 46, he ran for Senate and lost. Age 47, defeated in the vice president nomination, only get less than 100 votes. That must be embarrassing. I would just leave politics. And then 2 years later, he lost again. If I were him, I would just get out here and do something else, right? Do engineering, do something else, right? Or sell salesman, sell vacuum cleaners, I guess. But at age, it's not working. Oh, okay. 52, he became the president of the United States. Of course, you know that Abraham Lincoln. So brothers and sisters, don't let the past hinder you. Paul said we forget the past failure, also the past bitterness with people, grudges you have with people that also hinder us to charge forward. Relationship is such a challenging thing to deal with, isn't it? Being a pastor at church, sometimes people ask me, must be hard to prepare the sermons. Yes, most pastors, including myself, I think proportionally most of our time is spent in preparing the sermon. We spend a lot of time. If you give me another week, I will probably use it to prepare the sermon, the same sermon. If you give another month, I will use that month to prepare the sermon. Preparing of a sermon is never done. So most pastors, at least for myself, we spend a lot of time in preparing the sermon. But if you ask me, what is the hardest job being a pastor? Is serving with people. People is the most challenging. We have broken relationships. We hold grudges against people. Bitterness. Some people offended us. Grudges destroy marriages. Destroy, break up families. It ruins friendships. Grudges, bitterness, conflicts between people, speed, churches. Are you holding grudge against someone? I just can't let go. But this so-and-so did something wrong against me. I just can't forget. The one who get hurt the most is not the other guy, the other person. It is you. Right? He or she may have already forgotten it and move on, but you cannot. You're holding this grudge in your heart. Maybe the other person is 100%, but usually it's not 100%, maybe 99% wrong. But you just can't get that over. That hinders you. That is self-destructive. That hurts you, isn't it? It hurts you more than the other person. So Paul here said, set yourself free. You have to forget, put that behind you. Otherwise, you cannot press forward. You have to set yourself free. Otherwise, become a prisoner of anger, guilt, failure, depression, bitterness. Don't let other people sentence you to prison. So Paul said, forget. He did not mean that you erase it from your memory, like in your cell phone. You can just press a button and then all your photos are gone. You have more space on your phone, cell phone, on your Google Drive. Paul doesn't mean that. The memory will always be there. Now, let me tell you, always be there. It will be there. It will go to the grave with you. You can never erase that. But Paul here doesn't mean that you will erase that. But don't let them keep you in bondage. To hold you back from moving forward. Forget the past so that you can press forward. There are two hardest things to face in life. That's failure and success. What do you mean, Pastor Norman? Success very often holds us back. We did something really well, a quick success. We sometimes put dwell on it. So I believe when Paul said, put that behind you, it also, not just the failure, your grudges against people, also your success. If you ask a musician, I'm sure he will tell you that I'm not good enough. If you ask an athlete, a professional athlete, an Olympian, wow, you went really fast, you ski down the hill really fast. He will tell you that, no, not fast enough. I want to be half a second faster. So don't let your success also hinder you to move forward. Sometimes I talk to some senior members at church, they have been in this church for a long time. I ask them, want to come out and help to serve? I said, I already done this many years at church. I've done enough for church. I've done enough for God. Well, he didn't say that. I've done enough. I've done many things. The time I retire, I rest. Let someone else do it. Very often our past success hinder us. When I come to Sunday school, I've done that before and I started in Awana. I've gone for 20 years of Sunday school. I don't need Sunday school anymore. I know the Bible. Well, he didn't say that. No one can say that. I know the Bible inside out. No one can dare to say that. But I have done all this before. Want to start something new? No, I've done enough. The past success can also hinder us to charge forward. So that's why Paul here reminded us himself, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. First, you have to do a spiritual inventory for yourself. At the end of the year, if you are running a business, a warehouse, you will do an inventory. So the inventory is, Paul said that, I am not there yet. I have not obtained it yet. I'm not perfect. I still have a long way to go. When you take the kairos, somebody find that, I know most of this already. Or you may find, oh, this is a refreshment. Oh, I haven't studied this before. There's always something you can learn. But even this passage that you probably heard it before. I'm sure there's something God will speak to you this morning. Because we are not perfect yet. First, you have to realize that you're not perfect yet. You still have a long way to go. That's what Paul here is saying. Why do we have to keep improving your cell phone? Not to me, my old cell phone is really good enough. All I need just to be able to receive, they have internet to receive my messages. They be able to make a phone call. That's all I want from the phone. So to me, my cell phone is good enough. But I'm sure it's not most of the young people want a cell phone. No? They want a cell phone to do everything. To jump and dance and flip myself. Right? So that's why the inventor, the cell phone, they keep working on it. So keep having new models so you can buy new model faster. Right? So it's not, the cell phone is not perfect yet. So still, so you can, people can work on it. Your car is not perfect yet. So there's the one that's coming out, the new model is always better so that you want to buy a better car, better cell phone, better laptop. So it's not perfect yet. So we are not good enough yet. So we have to continue to learn so that we can grow. So that's why the church want everybody to take these three courses in mission and outreach. I was sharing at the Agape Fellowship last night, and I shared that. So I put in some numbers for the free congregation. How, based on my estimation, how many people have taken Kairos in each congregation, have taken ETI and power to influence in each congregation. Hey, you know that our English congregation is way at the front compared to the other two congregations in terms of taking up the Kairos, the ETI. So they said, oh, we better learn from the English people. We have to catch up. We have to catch up. So you have to realize that you're not there yet. You're not perfect yet. You have to catch up. Right? That's what Paul is saying here. So that's why you have to press on. You have to press on. Press on is like running. Right? The original meaning of the Greek meaning, Greek word meaning, is to make, to run, to flee, to fright, drive away, to run after. So I have to press on, just like running, not just marathon. When some people say that a Christian journey is a marathon, that is true in some sense, but it's also a sprinting. I think a Christian journey is more like the 1500, the 1 mile run, where you need endurance, but you need speed, really fast. I press on, like running, not walking. You have to press on towards the goal, straining forward. The next slide. Straining forward. Straining implies some pain. Stretch and strain. That's it. When I study engineering, we learn stress and strain. Okay, most of you don't know what that is. Okay, except maybe Tim here. Okay, forget about that engineering jargon. Stress and strain. You have to straining. That means you have to stretch yourself. Ah, okay, I got the proper word. Strain means you actually elongated a bit. Elongated. So you have to stretch so much that you actually elongated. You stretch yourself. Stress and strain. You stretch yourself. It's just like when you are dashing forward, running towards the finish line in the 100 meter. And if you watch those professional athletes, not obviously not us, right? So when they hit the finish line, you know, they would all just dip forward, or straining forward, stretching forward. And one time I watched a race video. So when they, this 100 meter dash, so when they almost hit the finishing line, actually I saw this guy, they actually more than straining forward. Actually he dived. He actually jumped over, dive. I mean, wow, that is that's extreme. You can do that every time. You're not going to live very long. Right? You're going to hit your face. But he won the race. So at the finishing line, he basically took a dive. He just jumped forward. So he won. Well, I would not recommend you to do that every time. You're going to hurt yourself. Paul here is saying that forget the past, putting the past. Don't let the past hinder us. String forward. Move forward with perseverance, persistence. Do not give up. Is the past holding us back? Are we straining forward? Or are we just wandering around? The Americans love sports. We all know that. Canadians love sports as well. So when someone tells you that I love football, I used to like hockey. That's when we were winning all the time. That's when I was younger. I used to watch that every night. I never miss a game. I like watch hockey. I like, some people like golf, like hiking. But you have to be careful. When somebody told you that I like football, doesn't mean that he actually plays football. Most people, when they say they like football or hockey, they mean they like to watch football. Or they like to watch hockey, at least for me. But in North America here, we have this interesting term called spectator sport. Spectator sport. So I'm a spectator sportsman. I like to watch lots of sports. So So that's why, you know, we all out of shape. I haven't run for years. I haven't moved around for a long time. We need to get out of this spectator sport mode. We have to strain forward. To do that, we need to have persistence. We have to continue to work hard. Just do it. Noah Webster spent 36 years to prepare the first edition of the dictionary. 36 years, my goodness. How many of us spend 30 years to do one thing well? Besides sleeping, he's trying to perfect our sleeping mode, right? 36 years. So I really like this when I read this quotation. Failure is the lie of least persistence. So when I read this, I still immediately think of fluid dynamics in engineering. that the fluid, the water will go to the least resistance direction, when we design paving systems. When the water flows down, it will go to the least resistance to come out. Right? So in the whole building, you have wires everywhere. Where would the water go? It will go to the least resistance. But this here is a little bit different. Failure is the lie of least persistence. Wow, it took me a while to digest and to think about this. Least persistence. When we have given a choice to read one book, 5 books, or 10 books in a year, in the beginning of the year, I'm going to read 5 books this year. But that is the highest resistance. You need the highest persistence to do that. But we tend to go to the least persistent with one book or maybe 5 pages this year, and then we read the rest next year. When we have set a goal, like myself, to walk 30 minutes each day, I have to tell you that I'm totally failed in that aspect. I haven't been walking 30 minutes a day. I try to lower it down to 15 minutes or even 5, and most of the time is 0. When the church reopened again, well, now you cannot come back, there's always this choice, right? Come to in person, get up the bed, brush your teeth, put on your makeup, put on your Sunday best, whatever, drive 30 minutes in the cold. Oh, it's pouring rain. There's a lot of resistance there. My eyes pouring. Oh, it's snowing. That's even worse. It's cold. And then there's an option here. I can just stay in bed, have my breakfast even maybe, and turn on my Zoom, turn off my video, then I can worship God. There's always this option in life. Should I practice more in my training? Practice 5 more minutes? Or let me leave 10 minutes earlier in today's practice. Let's practice the piano more. Or let's put just 5 minutes good enough. Failure is the lie of least persistence. Press forward toward the goal. Paul is reminding there's a goal. You don't just walk. Run really fast and go nowhere. Some of us are running really fast but not going anywhere. Press onward toward the goal. What is your goal? Our goal is to glorify God. You need to have a goal. Our church have a goal in this coming year. This year, our church goal is we want to learn to be, with God's grace, to be a missional church. That's our goal in the coming years. We want to make outreach, mission, evangelism, local, foreign is the center of our church. That's our goal. So we want people, all of us, to be equipped, to have our mindset all aligned together by studying the Kairos course, the ETI, the interface. But to yourself, the life has a goal. Whatever you do, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. That should be your personal goal. That's the goal of our church. But that should also be your personal goal. You need to set a goal. Otherwise, you will be in the default mode. In the default mode, that means you will skip to side already. It's interesting. You know, when you set your cell phone to a default mode, that means it doesn't have any mode. Factually set. Don't let yourself stay in default mode. A teen and a mom, you know, I was talking to a teen and a mom, and then the mom said, "No, my son want to be an NBA player." It's not tall enough. I said, "But he's still growing." If he wants to be a German Lin, let him one throw his goal. He will practice hard. No, one day, maybe even Michael Jordan, right? Never mind German Lin. So if he has a goal, let him one press toward his goal. You don't know. He can try his best. Are you trying your best? What is your goal? For Paul, the goal is to win the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Very often we think that Paul is talking about this heavenly reward, that when we go to heaven one day, that we can have, I don't know, well, I don't know what I need in heaven. I don't need a cell phone in heaven. I don't know what I need in heaven. Actually, that's a good question. What do we need in heaven? I don't know. I cannot answer that. But what is this goal? I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on. My price is to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. For Paul, his goal to press on the price is that he can own Christ like Christ has owned him or us. Let me say this again. I find this is the best translation, ESV. Paul pressed toward, straining toward this goal to win this prize. What is this prize? This prize about the heavenly, is a mansion there, an apartment in Metro Town. Now the young people, they all want to move to Metro Town. That's a cool place. There's a golden apartment up there waiting for me. Paul here talking about his goal to win this prize is to make it my own, to make Christ my own, just as Christ has made me his own. Now I understand. For Paul, the price, the goal of his running is that so that he can own Christ. How much Christ he wants to own? He wants to grab hold. He wants to wrap his arm around Christ. He wants to have Christ just like Christ make it my own. Just like Christ has made me his own. So I want to love Christ as much as he loves me. I want to own Christ as much as Christ owned me. I want to sacrifice Christ as much as Christ has sacrificed for me. Wow. Do you love your parents as much as your parents love you? If you say yes, I'll say that you're wrong. You'll never be able to love your parents more than he loves you. The more you love him, the more they will love you in return. You can never catch up. I can tell you as a parent, you can never understand the great love of your parents. How much Christ loved you. He died on the cross for you. Wow. And Paul here once said, I want to be able to love and get hold of Christ just as Christ has made me his own. Wow. This is the key words of this passage. For Paul, all this, the reward, the price, is not this heavenly mansion or this golden street, all these things that we could not comprehend at this moment. But for him, the price is to be able to own Christ like Christ has owned him. So brothers and sisters, let's learn from Paul, be reminded from Paul, that we forget the past, not erasing it in the sense, don't let the past hold us back. Have a goal. Our goal is to glorify God. And the price is to own him just like he owned us. To close, I want to share this illustration. If you have ever driven by, I'm sure you have passed by, been to PNE, you notice that before there was a bronze sculpture there. This is at the corner of Renfrew and Hastings, right? I'm sure maybe Christina knew here. Have you seen this? PNE, you know where PNE is? Yes, okay. There used to be a bronze sculpture there of two runners. In the last few years, some years, they moved this back inside the track. But that's been there for many decades. When I was young, I came to Vancouver. This is the first thing I noticed, right? At the PNE, at the corner of PNE. And this is to commemorate the Commonwealth Games in Vancouver, held in Vancouver in 1954 on August the 7th. It's the British, at that time, British Empire, common game in Vancouver. And in that year, two runners, for the first time in a human history, that two runners run under 4 minutes for the mile. But under 4 minutes is very fast. That means you run 100 meters, 16 seconds for every 100 meter. For me today, to be able to run 16 seconds, I probably die, right? 100 meter. So that's how fast they run in 100 meter, every 100 meter. And then you have to do that four rounds, right? To be able to run under 4 minutes. So in that year, first time, two runners, they both ran under 4 minutes. And then this is the first time the two runners are going to compete with each other in the British Empire Commonwealth game. And 35 people came to Vancouver. Wow. And there used to be a stadium there. Later on, that stadium was replaced by our BC Place. So before the BC Place, the BC Lion play at the this Empire, I mean, it's called Empire Stadium at PNE. So 35,000 people came, and the whole world put attention on this. They call this the Miracle Mile, you know, because of two runners in the same year run under 4 minutes, and then they're going to compete. And the one on your right, this bronze sculpture, is John Landy from Australia. He was the world record holder at that time, and Roger Bannister from England, just slightly behind him. So as they charged the run, both ran under 4 minutes in that race. And John Landy was ahead, and Roger was behind him. And then now they're charging toward the finishing line. And if John Landy can keep the speed, he will win, because Roger is behind, but he doesn't know where Roger is behind him. But he doesn't know whether he's on the right or on the left. So he looked over as he dashed towards the finishing line. He glanced over his left shoulder. So why at the moment, Roger just went past by him and won the gold medal. Landy that day won the 59.6 second. Roger 58.8, the difference 0.8 second. Roger got the gold medal. So brothers and sisters, let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So let's put the past behind us. Let's look forward. Take the hard way. Don't take the least persistent way. We're harder, straining forward. Our praise of winning this race is to own Christ just like he owned us. That's just like he owns us. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning, all of us. If there's some failure, bitterness, or success in the past that's holding us back, Lord, help us this morning to put it into your hand. You have forgiven us. You have set us free. Let that not hold us back. Let us not be prisoners of our past. Let our goal be on you. Let us run towards this finishing line. The price is so valuable. We want to run towards you so that we can own you like you own us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.